Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper! It's not Gasper and Murray, it's just two other guys. I think that's how we were introduced leading up into the show, right?
Just two other guys.
Two other guys in here. Tim McCone, Leroy Irvin of Hot 96.9 fame in for Gasper and Murray on this Saturday. Taking your phone calls throughout the show as well. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Again, that's 617-779-0985. We were going to switch gears and talk about Brady, the Bucks, what he looks like in that uniform. The emotional scarring that's going on there right now with seeing him in a different uniform, and also kind of the QB situation for the Patriots. But the NBA just releasing their awards list and finalists for MVP, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, et cetera. And just kind of wanted to go over this list with both of you guys, since obviously we have Leroy in, who's great with the NBA, and then also B-Rob, who's one of the best writers on the Celtics beat in the city. NBA releasing the most valuable player finalist. It's going to be Giannis, James Harden, and LeBron James as your three finalists. So not exactly any wild cards there when it comes to the finalists. But for you guys, who do you have as the MVP for the NBA this year?
I'm going to go with Giannis, but I don't like LeBron being on the list. And I know it's going to upset Laker fans, but Anthony Davis is that guy on the team. And I'm sick and tired of him not getting the credit that he deserves. And every time he leads the team in so many categories, but LeBron fans just refuse to give him his credit. It's always, well, it's because LeBron's on the team, because LeBron's on the team. All that being said, I got Giannis. I just had to go off on that real quick. Sorry. Giannis.
You're up.
Giannis is not even close for, because he even plays like 30 minutes a game in the regular season because they blow out so many of their opponents. And his numbers are still as good as anyone, so it's Giannis.
Yeah, look, I think it's Giannis, too. I think he's going to win his second straight. James Harden, I don't know if he's ever going to win one again until he does something in the postseason, right? I think a lot of people are going to hold that against him, fair or not. And then LeBron, I'm kind of with you in kind of your evaluation there as well.
Sorry, I went off a little bit.
All right, Rookie of the Year, we got three finalists. Ja Morant, Kendrick Nunn, and Zion Williamson. Zion, by the way, has played 3 minutes.
Yeah, how about him sneaking on there?
3 minutes so far in his rookie year, and he made the list. That's pretty impressive. Who do you guys have?
I got Morant, and I love Zion. I think he brings energy to the game that we haven't seen in a long time, but he does not deserve to be on the Rookie of the Year list. So at the end of the day, I'm going with Ja Morant.
It's Ja, and I wonder, like, how many games would Zion had to have played to, like, seriously consider him for you guys for this award? like half the season.
I'm looking at it now. He played 23 games. Yeah. So 23 games is not the answer to that.
25%, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't play 23 games and win Rookie of the Year. That's absolutely ridiculous, especially when John Moran has been unbelievable in this rookie year.
Yep.
Like, yeah, Zion's really good. I got to say, too, that first game back and they're fighting it out for a playoff spot and for him to be on the bench and the minutes restriction and all that stuff, like, yeah, I get it. He's your future, and you got to take care of him. But at a certain point, like, you got to play.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play. And, yeah, for him to only play 23 games and be on this list, I know he's unbelievable and probably the best rookie. Yeah, but is he the rookie of the year? No, you can't do that and play 23 games.
He's
so
got
me,
the most eyes on him, and that's what
no doubt.
So
no
they,
doubt,
they
right?
put him on the list for that reason.
Absolutely. Defensive player of the year, you got Giannis, your boy Anthony Davis, and Rudy Gobert, who – probably not a fan favorite right now, either in his locker room or with fans across the NBA. So who do you have there in the defensive player?
I'm going with AD, Anthony Davis. Phenomenal. And I think he's underappreciated simply because he plays with LeBron James.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
It's a good choice. I'm going to go with Giannis again since the Bucks like defense is just at historic levels this year, and he's kind of the fulcrum of it. But to be honest, I'd probably like Smart's going to get all – defensive first team honors, but like he probably deserves to be on this list over someone like Gobert.
I was thinking the same thing, right? Like, I don't want to sound like a green teamer here, but what Smart brings to the table, and like you said, he's going to be a first team all defensive guy, and just kind of that X factor and that dog, like you said earlier in that last segment too. Like, there's something to be said for that, and it's not just blocking shots. You know what I mean? I don't think that's necessarily it, but it's kind of a mindset that you bring to the team, and Smart does that for the Celtics in a way that not a lot of players in the NBA do, man. There aren't a lot of guys that can kind of change the way your team performs and that edge. There just aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the few that can do it, and I think that's pretty underrated.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Glad he's on our team, for real.
Yeah. Sixth man of the year. I'm not sure how many people really care about this at this point, but Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, and Lou Williams.
I'm going with Lou.
There you go.
Because
team first.
Because he went to a strip club to get some wigs. I'm with him. Lou Williams, you got my vote.
There you go. You know what? I'll say that too. Dennis Schroeder, though, by the way, he turned into a player. I didn't think he was going to, but yeah, he's Lou Williams. I'm with you on that. Most improved player, Bam Adebayo, Luka, and Brandon Ingram. Ooh. Ingram, I feel like, is just a product of putting up shots. Look, Bam's unbelievable.
Yep.
He's been a stud. Luka is...
That's Luka. It's Luka all day.
It's between those two guys. I'm such a big Luka guy, so I'll go with that. But Bam certainly has a real case.
Which Celtic would you guys put on the most improved list if you had to pick someone on the team?
Most improved? I said it in the beginning of the show. I'll say it again. I would put Marcus Smart simply because I don't squirm when I watch him with the ball. Now I'm more his improvement is to the point where it's like I'm extremely confident in what he's doing. I'd go with Marcus Smart.
B-Rob?
I don't blame you at all for that. I'm probably the leap that Tatum took midway through the year makes me want to put him on this list.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like you said, Tim, Ingram's got numbers, but his defense isn't really there, and that's a bad team in New Orleans. For Tatum to do what he's doing on a top three team in the East with all the injuries the Celtics had this year, I put him in this mix.
Most improved from a mental health aspect, I'm going to go Brad Stevens. Because I think last year was miserable for him.
So
I think now that all those headaches are gone and he's just coaching, I'll go Brad Stevens. From a day-to-day just mental health aspect, I think Stevens
it's a great choice
is
by
in
McCone.
A much better position than he was last year. Speaking of Stevens, NBA Coach of the Year, Mike Budenholzer of the Bucks, Billy Donovan for OKC, and Nick Nurse for the Raptors. Who you got?
I can't just give a straight-up answer. Brad Stevens needs to be on the list. I'm sick and tired of him being left off. But with that being said, man, I'm going to go with Billy Donovan. That's a tough test. Well, no, I take that back. Nick Nurse. I mean, to lose Leonard and to still be a very powerful team in the Eastern Conference, still doing their thing, he gets my vote.
Look, I think it's between those two guys. Yep. Billy Donovan, I mean, the job that they've done in Oklahoma City is unbelievably impressive because I thought that team was going to be awful, and they're going to be a tough out. They're going to be a tough out in the postseason. And Nurse, to your point, You lose Kawhi and still to keep that ship going the way he has, I think he's probably the best coach in the NBA right now. So I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those guys. B-Rob?
I agree with you guys on that, and I'm going with Diamond, but just because you guys, like, the over-under on wins for the Thunder before the year was, like, in the low 30s. Mm. They were expected to be a middle-of-the-road lottery team, and out of nowhere, Chris Paul comes back looking at himself.
Yeah.
You know, Schroeder, like, with Russell Westbrook out of the picture there, you actually got to see Billy Donovan coach this year.
Right.
Which is, it's like, oh, yeah, it's like kind of Brad Stevens post Kyrie. It's like, oh, yeah, he got his team back.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He got
like someone he doesn't, do, yeah.
Someone else isn't running the show, and I'll give it to Donovan. But, yeah, Nick Nurse is, I think, that's a coin flip between those guys because, yeah, no one expected Toronto to be this good after with Kawhi out the door.
So no like one expected them to be this good, and yet the Celtics absolutely dismantled them last night.
Yeah.
I can't get over how exciting that win was for the Boston Celtics. All right, 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Just wanted to get that out there because that list just got released and some interesting names on it. Kind of disappointing that you don't get any Celtics
at
any of those awards. Yeah, a little bit surprising because you would have thought maybe Stevens gets in the mix there. Although, you know, again, you look at it and Donovan, Nurse, and even Budenholzer with the way that the Bucks played, you know, it's tough. But, man, I can't believe Zion's on that list. That's that's crazy to me. 23 games. Games. Yeah. All right. 617-779-0985. We are going to turn our attention to the NFL here. On Gasper and Murray, it's Tim McCone. Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Got a tweet here.
Uh-oh.
And it looks like... no, fake tweet. I'll be honest with you. So this happened to me once, and ever since then, I've been really cautious of this. So let me tell you this story. So go back to the Jaylen Brown draft night, okay?
Okay.
And I was actually at the Celtics draft party.
Nice.
And I'm there, and we're just kind of waiting because you know they have the third pick, and there's a lot of smoke around Kevin Love. Is Kevin Love going to get dealt at that point? What's going on there? And Joe Murray, one of my favorites at the station, retweets a fake account, okay, a fake Woj account, and it said that the Celtics had traded the third pick and I forget what else, and like a package of guys for Kevin Love. And so then I start telling people, this is like 5 minutes before the third pick goes off, I start telling people, like in the draft party, like, oh, they just traded the pick. I just saw on Twitter, Kevin Love's coming to Boston. This is crazy.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, turns out, no, they didn't. I look at it. It was a fake Twitter account. I looked like the biggest moron, which is not hard for me to do, by the way. Looked like the biggest moron in front of all these people at the draft party. I just kind of like slinked out of the room afterwards. Like, yeah, that's on me. So ever since then, I've been very careful, and I just got had again. So anyways, we're not going to go down that road. 617-779-0985.
Wait,
I want to know.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. We're good.
Okay.
We'll go to the NFL on the other side here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5. Those are to be determined for all of us, you know, as we move forward and the type of buy-in and, you know, really what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. I mean, guys are working really hard to get to know one another. I think you just have to do what you can with what we're all dealing with. Try to make the most of it and try to understand that we're, you know, the clock's ticking on all of us. And, you know, we've got a lot of work to do in a very short amount of time.
All right, Gasper and Murray, freshman team in. Tim McCullen, Leroy Irvin,
JV
hot 96.
At least.
There
don't do us like that.
I know. We've gotten better.
Okay.
We've gotten better. That was Tom Brady. Again, I've said it on the midday show when I'm in with Zone Beetle. I've said it on Felger and Maz. Still not emotionally prepared to hear him talk about the Bucks as his team.
Oh, God.
Really?
I'm over it. I'm so over him being
20 years, 6 Super Bowls. You went to the Super Bowl every other
year.
Yes,
we enjoyed it. We lived it up. We ate good. Our bellies are full, and now he's moved on. Great.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what, I thought there was a good vibe between us before the show started. Not so much anymore. I'm still bitter about it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
I think the Cam Newton stuff is kind of made it bearable because at least there's something a little interesting to look forward to. But ultimately, you know, when you let, and not only let, but kind of force the greatest player in the history of the NFL out the door, you don't surround him with elite talent at the wide receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
You don't let him get a massage from his guy in the locker room. And really what it comes down to, and I told Felger this yesterday, like, So he wanted to get a massage from his guy in the locker room, and he wanted wide receivers that could actually catch the ball and make plays.
Okay.
And because he wanted that, now he's gone.
All right, I give you the wide receiver part, but the massage part, come on, man. That's a little bit too much. You cater it to – I know he's the greatest, but if you cater to him, someone else is going to stand up and say, well, you know, I contribute to X, Y, and Z. I need some this, that, and the third. And now it's out of control. No.
617-779-0985. We're just not going to agree with that. You know what you tell the other people that want that? Yeah, you win 6 Super Bowls for us, and you can do that too. Until then, shut up. 617-779-0985. Let's go to one of my other favorite callers, Mike and Woburn. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good,
hey,
good.
McCone, I heard you earlier. Don't feel bad about losing the 7 a.m. show. You were the polar opposite of the audience at 7 a.m. Okay.
It was tough, though. It's tough for like a 23-year-old to walk into 98.5 and then like probably 3 shows into his first one, they're like, you know what? We're just going to go with national programming.
Yeah. What? You brought too much heat in the morning. That's the problem.
Love it. Positive spin.
That's what's up.
You were replacing human Somonex. It was like we have McCone instead of the guy who drove Johnny Cab in Total Recall. Come on. You're waking people up. People are like, what is this noise? I thought I had the radio on and the Sharper Image white noise machine going at 7 a.m. Listen, the bubble, I think the Celtics have a huge advantage in the bubble, and I'll tell you why. Yeah. A lot of times when you see championship teams gel, there's some type of like road trip or like group outing or whatever that sort of brings them all together. And they like when the Bruins won in 11, they had a road trip out on the West Coast where they went like 8-1, and they all talked about it as how like that was when it was after all those trades that we sort of found out who we are. The Celtics are are they the youngest team in the NBA? At least the youngest starting five, right? Like of real contenders. Everybody's under 25. I mean, aside from Gordon Hayward, I think they're all under 27. Like the Bucks are going for dinner in the bubble. They got to figure out who's cutting Kyle Korver's food up. They got to, you know, change people's, depends. Like out in LA, everybody's got their own little, LeBron's got his own agenda, and they're not, I don't think they're a cohesive unit in the bubble. The Celtics have a chance to become just a absolute, you know, focused, machine in an environment where there will be no distractions except for basketball. Right. I really think it's an advantage for him.
I hear him on that. I think it always depends on the type of people you have on a team, because at the same time, you can look at a team like, let's say, LeBron when he's with Cleveland, and Kyrie and Kevin Love. I never got the impression that they all got along, but they got it done. You take something like we just watched the Last Dance documentary. We saw all the mess going on there, but they got it done. I think each team is different circumstances, and hopefully with the Celtics, it goes back to what he was saying. This is a good thing for them. Them being in the bubble will bring them closer together.
Yeah, look, I think being closer together, I also think it's kind of like an AAU feel in terms of the setup down there, and obviously Tatum and Jaylen Brown are close in terms of being – on that circuit. Like both of them, 4 or 5 years ago, were kind of in a similar situation. So, you know, Tatum even kind of talked about that going into the bubble, right? In that, like, hey, this is kind of similar to what we've been through. It's not going to be that big of a transition. So for maybe older guys that have been out of it for so long, like a LeBron James who's been in the league since 2003, maybe this is kind of more of a jarring thing. But yeah, look, I think them being close together and having good chemistry is a plus. And I think being in a bubble, if you're like a Sixers team and you don't have good chemistry, I think it's going to highlight it too.
Right?
You're stuck with that team, and that's probably not great for the 76ers. I thought they were going to be a bad matchup for Boston. Simmons being hurt, we'll see how long it actually is, kind of blows that thing up. And I wonder if Horford's just like, what the hell, man?
I know.
Like, well, what the hell?
I know.
I'm here in Boston. I sign. Chemistry's phenomenal.
Yep.
Everything goes to hell last year. He goes to the Sixers, who, you know, last year, I don't know how great the chemistry was, but Jimmy Butler walks out the door, and you're like, oh, we've got two top 10 players, top 15 players at worst in Simmons and Embiid. I'm joining forces with them. Things will be great. And now it seems like that whole thing is blown up. So, I don't know. Horford, man, cannot catch a break when it comes to signing and free agency and some of the teams that he's been on.
Again, I think it's important to say that there are teams in the history of sports where the chemistry was trash and they still got it done. So I don't want to put too much on that. It is important, but it can't happen when teams don't like each other.
617-779-0985. I've spent the majority of the morning talking about the Celtics, and rightfully so, with that win against the Raptors. But when you look at, and I want to kind of go back to the NFL when we started with this first segment, when you look at the Bucks and where they are with Brady and the expectations, I haven't really had this conversation with you, so I wanted to, because I think it's kind of the big one coming into the year for the NFL. But, you know, who has more expectations on them in terms of Brady and Belichick, and who are you expecting more out of in this season, Brady or Belichick?
More expectations. I'm going with Brady simply because of his age, his performance last year as a Patriot. Let's be honest, it wasn't top notch and what we were used to. We've given him a lot of credit for making teams in the past look great. So I don't know why last year he gets a pass. So him moving on, I think the expectations are with him. Can he perform? Can he go back in time? Will it be back to the future for him? And I think the pressure is on him more so than Belichick either. I mean, take COVID. You have a whole bunch of players opting out. That's one thing. You do lose the greatest quarterback of all time. You bring in Cam Newton, who some people are going to say, well, he's injury prone or whatever. So if they succeed or if they don't succeed, I don't see a lot of people pointing the finger at him about that. I think he gets a little bit of a pass.
Look, for me, I think if Brady is down in Tampa Bay and it doesn't work out, which I find hard to believe because the weapons they've surrounded him with,
boy.
With Evans, Godwin, Gronk. You know, Gronk with a year off, by the way. Let's not forget, for really the whole time he was in New England, outside of that last year and he had the ankle thing, you're talking about, and I said this time and time again, in his prime, he's the best offensive player in the NFL that wasn't a quarterback, right? Just the most dominant player on the field, because some of the things he was doing were just, there's no other player in the league that could do what he did. And so if he's 85%, 80% of what he was, and you have that, O.J. Howard and those weapons, Brady's going to have a monster year. But let's say he doesn't. You can look at it and say, I'm a 43-year-old quarterback and I started over. I don't know what to tell you. You look at Belichick. Belichick actively moved on from that quarterback, right? And so he decided it was time to turn the page. I think there's a lot more on Belichick this year, right?
No, don't. You said he could go on the whole, well, I'm 43, but that's not what he's been preaching. He's been preaching he can do this for a long time. He's been preaching flexibility and
pliability,
and all this stuff.
That's a fair point.
If he fails, if he's not the guy, he's going to have to take that on the chin. You can't preach it and then go out there and look stupid and then try to turn around and tell us something else. I really do believe Belichick is the one that's going to get the pass if they don't excel.
I just think it's going to be interesting to see if we have – if things don't work out here in New England. And by that, I don't think that they're going to be 1-15, 2-14. It's not going to be a situation like that. But let's say they go 9-7. Let's say they even win the division, but it's just not a typical Patriots 13-3, 12-4 year, because – let's face it, in the Brady era, 12-4 is like, it's a pretty good year, right? Yep. Like that, we got to readjust expectations a little bit. But let's say it's a 2009 where, you win the division, but you're not really a contender. Belichick lost that locker room. And so is that going to happen again this year if maybe things don't go right? And look, I know that's a big if, but you know, I go back to an interview that Zolak and Bertrand had during Super Bowl week this past year with Chris Long. It was an awesome guest. On a bunch of podcasts. He's really, really good. And he talked about the 2016 Super Bowl with the Falcons. And he goes, we walk in at halftime, we're down big, and he comes from the Rams. They were a nothing franchise. And he's like, oh, that sucks. My first Super Bowl and it's over. We got blown out, whatever. And he's looking around the locker room and guys like Daron Harmon are like, we're good. And he's like, what? And they're like, we got Brady, right? That confidence comes from having a guy that you know is the greatest of all time.
Right.
And if you don't have that to rely on, I think it's going to be a little different, right? In that locker room, not knowing that, you don't necessarily have that Brady to fall back on. Yeah, he's the greatest coach of all time, but I don't think anyone in that locker room is like, Yeah, I know we're down 28-3, but wait for this adjustment. Wait for this blitz that we got that we've been saving, and things are going to flip. So I think it's just something to keep an eye on. Like, I think there's a lot more you lose from Brady than just on the field, too. And I know the relationship wasn't great down the stretch, but I just think there's a lot of intangible things that he brought, confidence to the rest of the team, that you're losing as well. All right, 617-779-0985. Leroy Irvin, Tim McCone in for Gasper and Murray on this Saturday. Got one more segment. Then we got five questions.
Okay.
Tracy was nice enough to email them to me a couple nights ago, despite the fact that there's no Gasper. So I'm going to pepper you with five random questions that have nothing to do with sports. I'm going to get to know you a little bit better, Leroy. So I'm very excited about that. We'll do all of that coming up next right here on the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5.org. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Cam. Cam, when do you feel like the last time was where you truly had to compete for a starting job? And what's your mindset heading into this quarterback competition?
Well, as far as compete, you compete every year. I think, you know, we're all are competing each and every day. And, you know, I've been competing every single day, you know, didn't matter what the team was, you know, because at the end of the day, if you're one game away, as I've learned in this past year, and at the end of the day, it's just about, like I say, proving your worth and doing your part.
Hey, Jared, how's it going, man? Do you view yourself as having the ability to start this season, depending on how you perform this summer?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'm definitely ready. You know, I think I've, you know, I put in a lot of work this offseason to really improve mentally, physically, you know, in a lot of different areas. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm extremely excited to compete with Cam and Hoy, you know, as we go forward in training camp and get into the season and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to the competition. I love competing in whatever it is. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Hi, Brian. It's good to see you. Now, when you signed back with the Patriots in March, I believe your agent came out and said that this was going to give you an opportunity to compete for the starting role on this team. Now, things have changed and Cam Newton joins the group. Do you still feel like you're competing for a starting spot?
Well, I think for me, it's you're competing every day you go out. I mean, regardless of what the spot is, it's always a competition. And Bill said that, you know, numerous times you're going to earn what you get. So for me, it doesn't matter if there's 15 guys in the room. I'm always competing. When Tom was here, I was competing for the starting job too. Now, you know, I was probably never going to get that, but I always competed like I was going to try to beat him out. And that's the only thing that I could do to make myself better. So I think, you know, the more, you know, good players you add to a room, a group, offense, defense, team, it's always going to rise the level of everyone else up. So it's something that I've, you know, taken a part of before, and it's something that I look forward to.
There we go. We got a quarterback competition, Leroy.
No, we don't.
We got a quarterback competition. Yeah, you heard from all three guys there. It's Leroy Irvin, Tim McCone in for Gasper and Murray on this Saturday. Patriots meeting with the media via Zoom yesterday, and you heard from all three quarterbacks on the roster, Stidham, Cam Newton, and Brian Hoyer, all three there, competing and coming in ready to go for camp.
Yeah.
Patriots also releasing their depth chart on Patriots.com. We talked about this a little bit on Felger and Maz yesterday, but Stidham and Cam are listed as the two starters. Hoyer is not, which, man, Hoyer to come in promised to start or an opportunity to start and to already be listed as the backup. You can't be thrilled with that if you think it's a three-man race. But clearly the Patriots and the party line has been, this is not just Cam's job. So I ask you, do you think this is Cam's job to lose? Do you think this is a done deal that he's going to be a starter day one?
It's Cam's job. I mean, it makes me laugh every time I have to have this conversation with people. It's Cam's job to lose, point blank, period. And I find it hilarious that all three answer the question the same way. Maybe they were. We did have a caller say it was scripted. Maybe it is. Because they just literally gave the same answer, competing. It's always great to have somebody around to push you. Oh, please, cut it out. It's Cam Newton's job for him to lose.
Look, I'm with you on that. If Cam Newton is 100% healthy, Cam Newton's going to be the starting quarterback here moving forward for the New England Patriots. There's no doubt in my mind. Right. I think the question remains, and, you know, Phil Perry asked him, you know, how do you feel? Are you ready to go? And, you know, he kind of told Phil, I feel amazing. I feel great. But he also started the conversation by saying, you know, we do have up until opening day to kind of get right, and I'm still working towards that. So I think there are kind of maybe some lingering concerns, but you're 100% right, where if Cam Newton is healthy, Cam Newton's going to be a starting quarterback for the Pats. You don't bring him in on a one-year deal like that. And then, you know, unless Stidham is a stud and a can't-miss guy, which I would have to believe that if he really was that, Julian Edelman would probably be working out with him and posting a lot of Instagrams with Stidham right now and not necessarily Cam Newton. But I think it's Cam's job to lose. And I think McDaniels and Belichick are both probably really excited to have a quarterback where they can do some different things now and kind of have a mobile guy that can do some things that, quite frankly, you couldn't do with Brady.
Remember, I think it was with Mahomes. Who was he behind at first at Kansas City? Was it Alex Smith?
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, you didn't really hear much about it. And then that offseason, you heard, oh, Mahomes is the guy. He's the man. He's taken over. And then sure enough, he had what it, you know, it takes to be an incredible NFL quarterback. That's not the case here, people. Okay? Let's not try to make it seem as though Stidham is, you know, he's just blossomed into something, an MVP caliber quarterback. As of right now, it is Cam Newton's job to lose.
Some interesting things taking place in terms of football this morning.
Okay.
And it starts at the college level. The MAC has canceled their season for the fall. I think they might play in the spring. And then Pat Forty, who's one of the better college reporters, saying, prominent industry source says, quote, I think by the end of the week, the fall sports will be postponed in all conferences. Is it a surprise that college football is going to be pushed back?
No,
not really. I think I think it's a hard sell to say that these are student athletes and then have them go play, you know, football. Does it bode well for the NFL?
No,
I don't think it does either. Right. We've seen what a disaster baseball has been so far with the Cardinals and the Marlins. And unless you're in a bubble, which you can't do with the NFL with the size of these teams, there's just no way that you could realistically make that work. Man, it's going to be really, really hard to pull off.
If you're not going to have fans in the building, all right, so then let's just think beyond the arenas. There's got to be a place where there are football fields close, that are all close to each other, that you could form some type of bubble. I don't know where that is, but if we want football in the fall, is probably going to have to be in a bubble. And the NFL most likely is probably already thinking about that and doing whatever they have to do in case that's the situation. But this doesn't look good for NCAA to cancel fall sports, or could be by the end of the week. That's not a good look for the NFL fans.
No, yeah, I think you have to be a little nervous about it and just how, you know, how it's all going to shake out, because you look at that and, man, that's a bummer. You know, I kind of felt like it was coming, to your point, with I'm just not sure how colleges could have justified playing with everything that's going on right now. But it's certainly not promising with the NFL. And look, you look at Major League Baseball and kind of the changes that they've had to make with the schedule, stuff just coming down with the Sox, having to flip some stuff around. It's not like you can miss a game. You know, if let's say there's an outbreak on the Patriots, you can't just skip a week and say, well, you're playing a doubleheader next Sunday. Like that's not going to happen. Like there's going to be some tough things that are going to go down here if all of a sudden there's outbreaks on certain teams. And it's just going to be... it's going to be really, really hard to pull off. I think that the NFL is going to try its hardest to make this happen, and it's going to take a lot for them to cancel, but it's going to be hard to pull off.
And speaking as a fan, it'll be hard to invest any energy in watching a game where, you know, like you said, let's say someone comes down with COVID and they're not in it. But don't you feel that way already with players already opting out? A little bit of me is just like, I'm not as invested for this upcoming season simply because there's 8 players and some of them are very, very important pieces to the team that are already out. I mean, I don't know. Just maybe cancel it all. I'm so serious. If you can't put it in a bubble, cancel. and just we're just going to have to wait it out. It hurts, it stings, but still.
I know, it is crazy. And you look at the, just the kind of the sports that have been played so far. Yeah. You know, I feel like the NBA and the NHL, it feels kind of real because you had those seasons already take place. Yeah. Major League Baseball, with it being a 60-game season, doesn't really feel like it's kind of legit. Maybe that's because the Red Sox are horrific too. And, you know, football, we'll wait and see, but certainly not a great sign there with the college stuff.
Not at all.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Marshall Hook coming up after us, 2 to 5. But first, we got 5 questions with Gasper for you, Leroy.
Okay.
5 questions that have nothing to do with sports. We'll get to that, get to know you a little bit better. And we also, I'll get it out, I promise, also have a couple shout-outs we have to get to as well. We'll do that on the other side.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sport.
I got 5 questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got 5 questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got 5 questions.
5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I got 5 questions. I hope this segment ain't too whack.
There you go, that's Jim Murray, the best. So 5 questions for Gasper. Gasper not here, so okay. Leroy Irvin of Hot 96.9 fame in the hot chair instead. Quickly, before we get to the 5 questions, you got a few shout-outs you wanted to get in?
Yeah, shout-outs to Swampscott High School, the football team, Go Blue. They won the Division 5 Super Bowl back in December, and tomorrow they get their rings.
Nice.
They're getting their rings, so shout-outs to them. Shout-outs to my son Xavier and the whole squad.
Perfect. Perfect. There you go. All right. So here we go. 5 questions. Tracy Clements, all-star producer, nice enough to forward these to me a couple days ago. So here we go. Question number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your favorite place to just drive to?
Nantasket Beach. Here in the state, that's my favorite place to just go drive. Yeah. Yeah.
Anywhere with beaches is the play, man.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Number 2.
Okay.
What's one thing you own that you would never sell?
One thing that I own that I would never sell. This one's tough. Oh, it's my David Cowens basketball camp ripped up shirt that I got from camp. It's all ripped up. It's beat up, but I would never sell it. I'll never get rid of it. That was a part of my childhood, and I love it.
Love that.
Yes.
Love that. How was that camp?
Oh, it was great. I was supposed to be in the All-Star game. Everyone knew it.
Yeah.
And they didn't put me on it. I was heartbroken. I've never been the same since.
Oh, that's brutal. Brutal. Clearly still bothers you, by the way, because you brought that story up pretty fast.
Oh, I like that.
I don't think there's anything I own, honestly, that I wouldn't flip. You take it. Whatever.
What?
Yeah, seriously. I don't know. Number 3.
Yeah.
Most meaningful personality trait you look for in someone. Tracy, coming with the heat. That's an intense question.
This is so trustworthy. Like, I gotta be able to trust you, like, for real.
Yeah,
I mean, we can go down a whole list, but yeah, trustworthy. And I want people who aren't vain.
Yeah.
Oh god, put down your phone, you know, stop taking selfies of yourself, you know, just enjoy life. Let me shut up, because I can keep going. But anyways, all right, question number, what is it for?
That was number 3. So vain, trustworthiness is fun. those are pretty good.
Okay.
I want to be able to laugh with you too. You got to have a good, like, you got a good sense of humor. Yes. I think that's important.
And
too.
Be able to get laughed at.
Yes.
All right.
1,000%. Okay. All right, number 4. What's the one household chore you hate the most?
Taking out the trash. I don't know what it is. It's very simple. You just get it, go out, but it's just, I hate it. I hate it. I love washing dishes, which is odd. Laundry, all that stuff, I'm cool with doing. I hate taking out the trash.
I don't mind the trash. Laundry, not great. I hate doing the dishes.
What?
Yeah. So being a guy in his 20s, for like when I first like was on my own, like moved out, and I'd say on my own, I had like 48 roommates in my first apartment, like just an absolute trash place. But also, big paper plastic to no dishes. I'm not trying to impress anybody. Right. I'm trying to do as little work as possible. So I'm going to roll with the paper plates and the plastic silverware. So I did that for probably a lot longer than I should have, honestly. I usually leave this one for Jim, she writes. But you have 3 hours to kill one afternoon. What would you do?
3 hours to kill, one afternoon, what would I do? I'd be laid up with a beautiful honey and let her run her fingers through my hair.
Easy, because it is radio. It's not serious. I'm not going to take it any further. It's not XM or a podcast.
Yeah. As we Netflix and chill, sipping on something. That's about it. And eating a fish plate. There you go.
I like it.
There you go.
I like it. You've thought about that one, too. Yes. That was very descriptive. That's pretty good. I think just anything, day drink, right? Like, you got 3 hours. Yeah, yep. Let's just do it. I'm with you. All right, those were 5 questions. Okay. Got to know you a little bit, man. This was fun.
For a second.
Yeah.
I didn't know where we was going.
Hey, I'll be honest, for two guys that met each other 5 minutes before the show started, this was a good time. I appreciate you taking the time and coming in.
Listen, I just said I want trustworthy, someone who's trustworthy. In order to want that, you got to be that. And I told you in the beginning of the show, you got great vibes. I got great vibes. It was going to be a great vibe, period. So that's what it was.
It worked out. It worked out. Leroy Irvin, Hot 96.9. Find him on Twitter.
Boston L. Irvin. That's IRVIN. Boston L. Irvin.
All right. Hopefully we see you soon in the next few weeks. I'm sure there will be with some fill-in stuff coming up. I am Tim McCone. At @Tim_McCone is where you can find me. I'll also be on tomorrow, 10 to noon. Nice. Leading up to some Bruins coverage. I asked our program director, I said, you know, I can stay on for that extra hour that originally I was supposed to. We can preempt the Bruins. He said, that's okay. We'll go with the Bruins instead. Marshall Hook coming up next right here on 98.5 The Sports Sub. It is Tim McCone, Leroy Irvin in for Gasper and Murray. And I'm sure those two guys are back and will be with you next Saturday as well. I will talk to you tomorrow right here on The Sports Sub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's #1 sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.